Hello.
Hi.
Welcome to Dark Passengers.
Vacation edition.
This is Florida and
we're both burnt.
Yes, we are. This is Florida Maddie and Florida Gina.
Coming to you live in linen and absolutely drenched in aloe.
Yep.
Because, you know, for those who don't know, I actually can't imagine anyone who doesn't know. I am a poor excuse for an Italian. So I am looking like a lobster.
Yeah.
Put 30 on and reapplied.
Gotta do that 50. I did 50 and I'm not much better than
you. No, you're looking a little stripey too. So we done goofed.
Yep. But we are down here in Longboat Key, Florida. Longboat
Key, enjoying ourselves. But, you know, obviously we take our work with us.
Yes. True crime never stops. Not for vacation, certainly not.
No, not at all. If anything, there's an uptick.
They do say that there is a correlation between hotter weather and true crime.
You know, I got to be honest.
Or just crime. I don't think necessarily true crime.
If anything, I think this may be a defense mechanism for us because no one's going to want to pick up two, like, boiled, you know, lobsters on the side of the road.
That's not entirely true. We actually got... We got approached. We got propositioned.
Oh my God! How quickly I forget.
Some young gentleman on the beach yesterday in the mangroves, and he chased after us.
Let me set the scene.
Offered us some twisted tea, which I was very close to accepting. Actually, I was going to ask if I could take it to go.
We should probably set the scene because I think right now it sounds like we were like in the Everglades. So we are in an area where we're on an island, but there is these. They almost look like vineyards, but it's just like dry wood that...
I think that's mangroves.
Yeah, I guess so.
I think so.
So anyway, amongst the mangroves, we found a man. Sounds nice, doesn't yeah, it? Like a mangrove, really.
It was a mangrove.
It was. And so there were a couple young bucks. Couldn't have been older than 17.
Yeah.
For sure. Like asking for us to get arrested, really.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden...
They're probably like narcs or something.
Right. And all of a sudden we hear this cooing behind us. And we're like, we're just taking a walk, you know, like, you know, legs flapping in the sky, just red and, you know, just
ready
enjoying ourselves.
Ready to catch flight.
And all of a sudden we hear like, hey, and we turn around because naturally, being us, we think that, you know, we drop something.
It can't be about
us. Or there's an emergency, like I'm holding a can. I'm like, they're going to arrest me. Something's not right. And he's like, you want to drink some twisted teas?
Yeah. Some young gentleman comes jogging up to us with twisted teas.
And I'm going to be honest, like, I think the two of us have been out of the game for far too long because we both, like, us
we kinda looked we
chuckleheads.
Kinda, we kind of, like, looked around to be like,
do you mean me?
Yeah.
So naturally we said no, and I pretended that Maddie's older sister, Chelsea, who's only a few years older than us. I went, we're with our sister. We gotta go. As if she's like our like our babysitter.
Yeah.
And the worst part is that we were on this kind of like a peninsula of sorts, but it barricaded one side of it.
And it was, and then, there, so we so had it to was walk very back. Narrow. It was a very narrow strip of sand.
Yeah.
So it's not like we could really avoid them.
There's
we
nowhere
had
to go.
We had to pass them again on the
we
way back.
We had to pass them again. And then they got emboldened because they had 1 to 2
twisted teas
en route, you know, in the time that it took for us to come back and wade the cool waters of the Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah.
And they got a little emboldened, didn't they? They were
did.
Like, yeah, you sure you don't want to stay? And we're like, hey, no, thank you. We got to go back. And then they're like, what did they say? Like,
they said we had sexy ass bodies.
I just don't know if I... Maybe they were talking about you.
No. But
actually, our butts are not the part that are burnt. So maybe they thought they had these Milky Ways en route and they didn't realize.
Yeah, I... like I said, I kind of was like, want to be like, hey, can I take one of these to go?
Could I just get the drink and
shoot your shot, man.
Shoot or shoot. I've said it once. If I've said it once, I've said it
a
million times.
That's gonna be like your epitaph.
I sure hope so.
I'll make sure that happens.
I sure hope so.
So, anyways, that is we're down here in Florida. We're just trying to keep cool. So I think that probably brings us to what we're drinking right now.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, obviously we love our cocktails, we love our wine, but we are beach ladies. We don't have time, yep. You know, we're moving quick. We're on the go. You know, to be honest, we really should be asking Twisted Tea to be sponsoring us, but as we didn't accept.
They had some great brand ambassadors.
They sure did. So we are drinking two different, we've got a Seltzy and then we've got a little road soda.
So what is the difference between what we're drinking? I'm drinking a White Claw.
Maddie is drinking a White Claw. So that is straight malt liquor. So you're basically drinking like a yuppie's 40. Nice. That's what that is. And then they say,
ain't no laws when you're drinking claws.
Not at all. It just, it makes me think of Toy Story when they're like, the claw. And then I am drinking a High Noon, which the only thing here, again, they say that it's real vodka with soda, with like a grapefruit soda.
Sure. Yeah.
I don't know that it's actual vodka because it's still only 4.5. Like your seltzer is more alcoholic than mine. So yeah, you're like Edward 40 hands there. And so we're just like sizzing on some scissorp and feeling good. I'm feeling burnt, actually. I'm just radiating.
We're trying to keep cool. We don't do well in the heat.
No, I swell.
And we're burned. We're bloated. The side for like any restaurant you go to, the side of choice, it just defaults to French fries.
Yep.
We're like, that's not conducive to a,
yeah, like mixing a hot little salad. Beach bod. Yeah, yeah, no. They're like, hey, why don't you take your flabby ass? Yeah, they're like, oh, a vegetable, how about a potato? Which, to be fair, I mean, that's James not our fault.
What else can we do?
I don't want to starve to death here, so I will eat every fry that's given to me.
Right. But anyways, yeah. So
cheers. So, bitch.
Yeah, I think that now is probably the good time for the cheers, and
it's not going to sound as good because obviously we're drinking it out of a can, so yeah, it's going to be a little muted
to episode. I mean, whatever. I don't even know what episode this is right now. God, I feel like I've been doing this for 1,000 years.
We'd be so lucky. Yep. You know what? Cheers to aloe in the freezer.
Yes, and cheers to all of you for again tuning in. I think that our listenership is it's going down pretty steadily each week.
Is it?
Yeah, I think people are kind of like, I think it's the novelty.
Do you guys not think
gone.
We're funny?
I think the novelty, can you write a comment? Is gone. But for those few listeners OGs. Who are sticking around, once again, we encourage you to follow us on Instagram. We are Dark Passengers Pod. We are also on Apple. Mm-hmm. And we're on Spotify too. So please follow us, subscribe. Rate us.
And you know what?
To be honest, smash that rate button, please.
I would rather have fewer members and fewer listeners that listen to each one. If you can't handle me at my worst, you don't deserve me at my best.
That's very true. And I think with
that being said, live, laugh, and love, honey. Cheers.
With that being said, cheers.
Cheers.
That's pretty good, actually.
Bit muted.
Okay, Gina, so do you, actually, I don't want to ask, do you know what we're talking about today?
We have,
because we actually
about
have discussed this just recently. But
I will not lie.
This is probably going to be more of a mini-sode, mm-hmm. just because, you know, we are on vacation, but we want to make sure that we are giving our listeners what they deserve. So this actually is a local case to Longboat Key, Florida.
Shout out to Luke for finding it.
Yes, Luke found this one. He told me all about it and was, you know, telling me about how it took place in Longboat Key. So it only seemed appropriate. But this is just kind of a little like bite size
mm-hmm.
episode. It's a little like appetizer.
Love it.
A little amuse bouche.
Love it.
Yes. So today we're going to be talking about, this is kind of like the Longboat Key's version of Dr. Death. This is the story of Carl Coppolino. So Carl Coppolino was born in 1933 in Bedford-Stuyvesant, which is a neighborhood, I believe, in Brooklyn, mm-hmm. in New York.
Bed-Stuy.
Yep. He was, I'm not a New Yorker, so I don't know much about New York City, but I guess that's what they call it, Bed-Stuy.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
He was born to Italian immigrant parents, and apparently, I think, just like, for the time, this was right during the Depression. Obviously, they struggled with money. His parents, so they ran their own barbershop. And his parents were very academically minded and kind of like really pushed Carl to, you know, focus on his studies. So his hard work was paid off when he was accepted into the elite Brooklyn Tech High School. So it was after he graduated from Brooklyn Tech High School that he earned his degree in chemistry at Fordham University and then went to SUNY Downstate Medical School in Brooklyn, where he studied to become an anesthesiologist. So it was at medical school where he met a fellow medical student, Carmela Musetta. So Carmela came from an affluent family of doctors, and she came from Boonton, New Jersey. So, you know, the two of them, they start dating. Mm-hmm. They both graduated from medical school. They get married. Carl took a job at a hospital in Red Bank, New Jersey. And Carmela started as a research physician at a pharmaceutical company. So while he was working as an anesthesiologist, Carl took an interest in hypnotherapy, kind of like its therapeutic benefits, and, you know, started writing articles for books about, you know, the benefits of hypnotherapy and, you know, the books that were like the audience was doctors. So, you know, he starts kind of moonlighting doing hypnotherapy. Mm-hmm. He gets a new client who actually is his neighbor. This is 48-year-old Marjorie Farber, and she started using hypnotherapy as a means to stop smoking.
Okay.
Yep. So Marjorie was married to Colonel William Farber, and the couple lived across the street from the Coppolinos. So in 1961, when Carl was just 30 years old, he suffered from a heart attack, which that's really young.
Really young.
Yeah. So due to his poor health, he stopped practicing medicine just because he was declared to be medically unfit.
Yeah.
And so he started actually receiving disability benefits.
Mm-hmm.
Carmela, however, she continued on as a physician, and she kind of her salary as a physician afforded them the opportunity to maintain that lifestyle that they were used to, because Carl, I think, required a very high standard of living.
Right.
So in 1962, when Carmela was pregnant with the couple's second child, who was a daughter, Carl and Marjorie, so remember, this is his patient and his next door neighbor.
Yep.
They start carrying on a sexual affair.
Ooh.
Yes.
Is that normally a part of the hypnotherapy?
One of the benefits?
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the offerings?
Yeah.
So Marjorie, who was significantly older than Carl, apparently, though, looked pretty good for her age.
Yeah,
so because yeah, she was, you know,
if he got
she was
it.
Almost 50 years old and he was like 30. So her husband William apparently was actually he was aware of the affair, and at first he was kind of willing to turn a blind eye, but then it didn't take long for him to just be like, all right, like, enough of this.
Right.
This is crazy.
Right.
So during the morning of July 30th, 1963, William complained of chest pains, to which Carl advised him to go to the hospital, but William refused. So later that evening, Marjorie called Carl in a state of panic. She says that she found William unresponsive in the bedroom and asked Carl to come over. So Carl, as you recall, is declared unfit to be practicing medicine.
Yeah.
Doesn't want to lose his disability benefits.
Right.
So he sends his wife, Carmela, who is, remember, she's also a physician.
Yep.
He sends Carmela across the street to go and like
and
check it out.
And is she good to practice in Florida? I forget.
This is, they're still in New Jersey at this
oh,
point.
Oh, right, right,
yeah.
Right.
So he sends her over and he's like, go deal with this.
Mm-hmm.
So Carmela, you know, she obliges. She goes across the street to the Farber's house and she discovered William there. She recalls that he was, quote, all blue down one side. But other than that, there was no signs of outward trauma
yeah.
or injury. However, at her husband's urging, she signed the death certificate attributing his death to coronary thrombosis. And there was no autopsy done on the body. So Carl and Marjorie continued their affair for the next 18 months. And during that time, Carl actually suffered an additional 3 more heart attacks.
God.
So this guy's just, his health is just not.
Yeah.
Like,
but he's surviving all of them.
And he's so young.
Yeah.
You know? So by April of 1965, Carl convinced Carmela to relocate to Longboat Key, Florida, mm-hmm. which, again, is where we are right now, which is a relaxed seaside community 30 minutes outside of Sarasota. He believed that the nice weather and, like, the fair weather would be beneficial to his health, which obviously was not doing great.
Mm-hmm.
So Marjorie actually ends up following the couple down to Longboat Key. So she's, you know, a widow at this point, and I guess just felt like she didn't really have a whole lot else going on. Mm-hmm. So goes down there, and she goes and she lives next door to them. And so it's this little, like, trio of
menage
weirdos.
Trois.
Yeah. No, Carmel is, I'm sure, was lovely. So, unfortunately, you know, kind of their new start that they had, where they were expecting, was interrupted because Carmela actually failed the Florida medical examination.
Oh, right.
So that meant that she was not able to practice medicine in the state of Florida.
Yep.
So at this point, they're literally just living off of Carl's disability payments, which apparently was about $22,000 a year.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, which, when you think about that, that sounds like a lot. So I don't know. This was negligent of me. I don't know.
22 a year coupled with her salary or with her.
Yeah. So at this point, you know, they're kind of like struggling financially. So Carl decides to turn his sights on Mary Gibson, who is a wealthy divorcee. So they met at like a bridge club they belonged to down in Florida. So it's believed at this point that Carl had asked Carmela for a divorce so that he can marry his mistress, Mary. And yep. keep in mind, this is not Marjorie, the yep. former mistress who followed mm-hmm. them down there. This is a
he's busy.
He is busy. I guess when he's, you know, not when he's up to no good and not practicing medicine, he's going and sowing his wild seed.
Yeah. A lot of energy.
Yep. So lots of endurance.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, at this point, he's like, he asks Carmela for a divorce, and she's just like, no. And mm-hmm. apparently she's a devout Catholic, and she's just like, no, like, I don't believe in divorce.
Right.
So, soon thereafter, when Carmela refused Carl his divorce in August of 1965, just months after the couple relocated to Florida, Carmela started complaining of chest pains. In the morning of August 28th, 1965, the couple's family physician, Dr. Juliette Carrow, was awakened by a phone call. It was Carl tearfully explaining that he just found his wife, Carmela, dead from what he presumed to be a heart attack. And she was only 32 years old at the time of her death. So that is crazy.
Right.
Like, most 32-year-old women do not drop dead from a heart attack.
Or even have a heart attack at all. And even if they do, I would think that the rate of, you know, surviving it is quite high.
Yeah. So when their family doctor, Dr. Carrow, went to the house, she was confused because while there were no signs of external trauma, it is extremely rare for an otherwise healthy young woman to die of a heart attack at the age of 32. However, she did not really ask many questions, and she signed the death certificate.
Mm-hmm.
There was no autopsy done on Carmela either. So 6 weeks later, Carl Coppolino marries Mary Gibson, the wealthy divorcee.
We don't waste any time around here.
Yeah, from his bridge club.
Mm-hmm.
So remember, we still have Marjorie at this point.
Yeah.
She followed Carl down to Florida, and she was not happy when she discovered that Carl remarried. So at this point, she's kind of like, F
you. We got a goddamn Casanova on
her.
She's
like, F you. She goes to the police.
Yep.
And she tells them that Carl murdered his wife. And she says she knew that Carl murdered his wife because she was there when Carl murdered her husband. And both of them had died from what presumed to be, or what looked like, a heart trouble.
Yep.
So she explained that she was a patient of Dr. Carl Coppolino's and was under his care for hypnotherapy. She alleges that she was under a hypnotic spell when Carl injected her husband succinyl chloride. Oh my god, that was terrible.
I don't think I could do better, but I'm sure it's not right.
It's definitely not right. Yes, succinyl choline chloride, which is a muscle relaxant used by anesthesiologists.
I do love a good muscle relaxant. I get back spasms, and when they give you a little Flexerol, oh, yeah, honey, you are just like loosey-goosey.
So she further...
Not that I'm condoning that.
Yeah. Jesus. So she further alleges that when the drug failed to kill William, Carl then smothered him with a pillow. She maintains her innocence of the crime because she says she was under the influence of hypnotherapy and she was not responsible for her actions.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So
just absolve yourself of all that.
So from a medical standpoint, these allegations made sense because this drug, this muscle relaxant, is used by anesthesiologists to give to patients during operations to apparently to relax the muscles in their throat so that they're able to put like a breathing tube.
Yeah. Yeah. So wait, you might have already said this, but how long was it since her husband had died to this point where she's now in Florida and knows that he's since remarried?
This was about 2 years.
Okay. Yeah. Because if I were the police, I'd be like, oh, you are only telling me now?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I do. And I wonder what the statute of limitations is on something like that.
So veterinarians also use this same drug to euthanize animals. So in large quantities, it was lethal. And apparently some states even use this drug as part of a 3-part cocktail used for lethal injection. So it's important to note that the way that this drug metabolizes is that it's metabolizes in such a way that it makes it nearly untraceable because it takes on the properties of other like chemicals, mm-hmm, or like enzymes in the body that usually are there anyways. Mm-hmm. So that makes this the perfect murder weapon. And Carl, who was a anesthesiologist, knows this. Mm-hmm. So, following Marjorie Farber's claims, authorities in both New Jersey and Florida exhumed both bodies and determined that neither Carmela nor William Farber had any evidence of heart troubles. Then Dr. Carl Coppolino was then indicted for murder. So, he was quick to maintain his innocence, and he hired F. Lee Bailey, who is a famed criminal defense attorney, who in today's kind of pop culture is best known as part of being the dream team of attorneys who defended O.J. Simpson. Mm-hmm. So Coppolino was first tried in New Jersey, where he stood trial for the murder of Colonel William Farber. Marjorie Farber was the star witness, and she testified that she was under Coppolino's spell when he instructed her to inject her husband with that muscle relaxant, which she did in his leg, before she called Coppolino to come over and finish the job, because I think she kind of like lost her nerve at this point.
Right.
She describes Coppolino injecting her husband with a sedative and then later smothering him with a pillow when he didn't succumb to the injection. And she says that she was begging him to stop and that he didn't.
I feel like she might not have been.
Yep. So Lee Bailey, who again is the defense attorney, he used this her testimony to spin the narrative to kind of make her look like a spurned lover. He calls her testimony to be, quote, the preposterous tale of a sick and malicious woman. Lee Bailey was described as being belligerent during his testimony and claims that they could get proof that her claims of being like under the influence as being like that's medically just impossible.
Right.
So during his opening testimony, he delivers this monologue, which is just like, it's just withering. He goes, "This woman drips with venom on the inside, and I hope before we are through, you'll see it drip on the outside. She wants this man so badly that she would sit on his lap in the electric chair while somebody pulled the switch just to make sure he dies. This is not a murder case at all. This is monumental and shameful proof that hell hath no fury like a woman scorned." Yeah.
Wow.
Like, that is a mic drop moment if I've ever heard. It almost gives you chills.
Yeah, honestly, that is a visceral description.
Yep. Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. So this guy's, I mean, this guy's good at his job.
He's good.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
ooh, that gives me like little shivers.
So he was persistent in reminding the jury of her history of both adultery and jealousy. Mm-hmm. This method proved to be effective because the jury acquitted Dr. Carl Coppolino for the murder of Colonel William Farber after only 4 hours of deliberation. So he then it's time for, you know, it's time for Florida now to shoot their shot.
Right.
Yeah. So
get in while the going is good.
Yep. So he in Florida stands trial for Carmela's murder. And this took place in Naples, Florida on April 3rd, 1967. So Marjorie, again, went on the stand a second time.
She can't wait.
Yeah. She claimed overhearing Coppolino on the phone after his wife's death saying, quote, they started the arterial work and that won't show anything, end quote. But instead of relying on her testimony, the prosecution realized they needed something like a little bit more to bolster their argument. Mm-hmm. So then they relied on the argument of forensic drug evidence from Dr. Milton Halpern, who is New York's chief medical examiner. It was also revealed at this point weeks before her death, Carl increased her life insurance policy to $65,000. So, the jury in Florida was less sympathetic to Carl Coppolino and convicted him of second-degree murder and sentenced him to life in prison. However, he was paroled in 1979 after just 12 years when he agreed to abandon his medical degree.
What?
Yeah.
That's all it took?
That's all it just took.
Drop that shit and he's good?
And that's all it took. So, they showed pictures of him, like, leaving prison with, I think he's still married to this Mary Gibson
just
at this
cheering.
Point.
Just cheering.
Yeah. And
cracking
he's, like, a
little
Weasley looking thing. He's I'm awful sure. looking. Yeah.
God, Marjorie, what gall, you know?
Yep.
It's just, I'm surprised that no one kind of went, like, lady, it took you 2 years to suddenly come to this. And she's like, oh, no, I'm ready.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So, yeah, that was, like I said, we're going to make this a quick little mini-sode. That was
short
the story,
and sweet.
Yeah, the story of Dr. Carl Coppolino. Just a real, like, scumbag.
Yeah. And so after he was released, I mean, obviously he got rid of that degree, you know, his certification. And then what? Like, what's he doing
he
now?
Just, like, well, I think he's probably dead now. But
now, right, but like in the last 20 years, or has he just been here?
Know.
Like, is he a neighbor? Should we be worried?
he'd be like probably like over 100 years old if he.
Oh yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
Well
no,
know.
Not 100 years old, but he'd be like in his
90s.
Like, 90s. Yeah, I think we probably could fight him off.
Don't know. Old people alive and up around here.
Yeah.
He might be able to hypnotize us.
Yeah.
Sounds like he's got a real way.
So, yeah, that's a crazy story local to Longboat Key. But, yeah, that was – we just wanted to just, again, give our listeners
– a little taste
yeah.
of the island life.
Yes, and I think – so now I'm putting this out in the universe – that next time Gina's gonna be doing the
yeah
the
I think I might
so I might sit back throw my feet up
I think I'm getting a little confident around here
sip on a cocktail and let you do some
well
of the
I told Maddie
lifting.
I feel a little guilty that I just you know waltz up I'm told a nice bedtime story and I just like get lit
yep
and you know I'm very good at that that's
yep.
where I really thrive
I can't wait to hear what you have to say
I think I might do something
do you have,
I might do something British
oh yeah
I think that could be fun and no I'm not gonna do like the like what's his name
Jack the Ripper
I was like the Grim Reaper yeah Jack the Ripper I want to do something very unique yeah maybe something like that or maybe I can go like old school like turf war Italians in the city
Ooh.
I got yeah I don't know like the world really is my oyster
well I look forward to it so
yeah.
Next time we tune in it's gonna be Miss Gina
so if I'm suddenly
it.
Sick
yeah.
No I'm just kidding I'm actually really excited because I do laud myself as a bit of an orator
yeah you're, I'm sure you're a great storyteller
I'll just lick her up beforehand
I guess that remains to be seen so Gina
I don't know if they're ready
the ball is officially in your court
the baton has been passed.
I passed the baton. It's time for you to finish this relay race.
I'm ready.
And,
I've been Pelotoning. These legs are ready.
Yep. You've been
Let's
preparing
fucking go.
For this.
Yeah.
But thank you, everyone, for tuning into just this little baby mini-sode.
Thank you, guys.
And we will catch you guys next time. Thank you. And we love having you along for the ride.
Bye.